Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Brachos Daf Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Following the conclusion of our regular Daf Yomi Gemara Shiur, we will offer a supplemental Shiur covering the Tosfos of our Daf, for those who are interested. Today's Shiur will begin from the top line of Daf Zayin. Before we begin our Gemara, we have a few structural points to take care of. You'll notice that the very opening of our daf has a diamond featured, and you will find on the outside margin under our Mivneh heading, the Mivneh is a structural note, and we offer structural notes from time to time as needed when we continue in our Gemara. Here our structural note says, Meimros shel Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Yossi, the diamond features comments made by Rabbi Yochanan in the name of Rabbi Yossi. You will see, as you scan down this Omid, quite a few of these markings. In addition, we have a bow tie shape, and you'll notice to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, a little 3 in a bow tie, with an indication that this is Mi Vav Amud Aleph. That is, if you go back to Vav Amud Aleph, you'll notice two bow ties around the expression Minayan. There the Gemara was interested in asking from where do we know that the Almighty is found, so to speak, in a shul, and from where do we know that the Almighty wears tefillin. Namely, we saw there Minayan Shakodesh Baruch Hu Motsui Beveis HaKnesses, Minayan Shakodesh Baruch Hu Miniach Tefillin. So, in continuation with that theme, this is Minayin, our Gemara opens up with, under our Nosei, our topic heading, you could see, we have written, Minayin Shekodesh Baruch Hu Mispalo, from where do we know that the Almighty prays, so to speak. Of course, when dealing with the Almighty and descriptions, it's always in a figurative expression, and one has to realize that we as mortals have no conception of the true reality of the Almighty. So very often the Chazal present things in ways that we can relate to it. So with that disclaimer in mind, we continue with the translation of the Gemara itself per se, and we also have in our discussion here Mahu Toifent Filoso, what is the content of his tefillah, of that which he prays. So our Gemara begins from the top line, Omar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Yossi, Minayin Shehakodesh Baruch Hu Mispalo, from where do we know that the Almighty davens, he prays. Shenemar, the Pasuk reveals this. It says, V'havi oisim el har kodshi v'simachtim beveis tfilasi. And the Almighty declares, I will bring them in the future to my holy mountain and give them joy in the house of my prayer. Tfilosam lo nemar. It doesn't say in the house of their prayers, meaning the people, but rather elo tfilosi, in the first person. And here it's the Almighty as the speaker, so it means in the house of my prayers, that I pray. Mikan shehakodesh baruch hu mispalo. From here we see that the Almighty davens, that he prays. My matzli, what, after all, could possibly be the text of the prayer of the Almighty, Omar Rav Zutra Bar Tuvia, Omar Rav, the following. And we have quotation marks, you can see around the next couple of lines, that which would constitute the prayer of the Almighty. Yehi rotzon milofonai, it should be my will, sheikh b'shu rachamai is kasai, that my expression and feeling of mercy should overpower my wrath. The Ogolu Rachamai al Midosai, and that my feelings of compassion should be the preeminent characteristic that I have, Vesnahegi Bonai Bemidas Rachamim, and that I conduct myself with my children with mercy, Ve'ekones Lem Lifni Mishur Sadin, and deal with them beyond the letter of the law. Tanya, here we have a Tanaic source. You can see a frame around the next number of lines. Let us, just by way of preface, mention that on Yom Kippur, once a year, the Kohen Gadol would enter the Holy of Holies, the Kodesh Kodoshim. And here, an incident is revealed where a Kohen Gadol, Reb Shmuel Reb Yossi, entered the inner sanctum, and he experienced a type of divine revelation. And we'll continue now with the source itself. Tanya, Omar Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha, Pam Achas Nichnasti Lahaktir Kteres Lifnei Lifnim. Once, at one time on a Yom Kippur, I entered the Holy of Holy, which there was an incense offering. That's the Kteres offering that took place, a special Yom Kippur Kteres offering that took place in the Kodesh Kodashim, and I went in there. Lifnei Lifnim means in the inner sanctum. For Isi Akasriel Ko Hashem Tzivokos. This is a name of the one of the names of that are used to refer to the divine spirit that was there. Shu Yoshev Al Kisei Rom V'Nisa, that he was seated on the on a lofty throne. The Omarli, and he said to me, Yishmael Bini Borcheni, my son Yishmael, give me a blessing. Omarti Lo, and I responded, says Rabbi Shmuel, Yirotzon Milfonecho, Sheikh Bashu, Rachamecho es Kascho, Vyogolu Rachamecho Amidosecho, Visisnai Gimbonecho Bemidos Horachamim, Visikoneslim Lifnim Mishuras Hadin. Notice this is word for word, just in the second person, the same text as we said before. What was the content of the Tefillah of the Almighty? And it's basically a prayer where we pray. Where the prayer is for the Almighty to conduct himself in the spirit of mercifulness. V'ni'anea li v'rosho, and he nodded to me as affirming my blessing. V'komash molon, shelo te birchas hedyot kalo beinecho. We learn from here that the blessing of a commoner should not be light in your eyes. Here is the maximum, the most extreme illustration possible, because here you have the infinite, the almighty, the infinite one seeking a blessing from a man, from a mortal. And in that spectrum, you couldn't have a greater gap between the infinite and the finite in describing a desire for a bracha from that which is hegel, from that which is merely mortal. And yet he did, yet the Almighty did seek out the blessing of the mortal. So we can conclude from this very important lesson, that the blessing offered by a lesser type individual should not be taken lightly. Continuing in the Gemara, we have another statement of Rabbi Yochanan in the name of Rabbi Yossi. V'omer Rabbi Yochanan mishum Rabbi Yossi. Minayin she'ein meratzin lo l'odem mishas kasa. From where do we learn that one should not attempt to placate his friend when he is in a state of wrath, when the friend is in a state of wrath? So that if you see someone that's fuming, don't attempt to placate him just at that moment. Dichtiv, so the Pasuk says, Ponai Yelechu v'hanichoisi loch. Now, an explanation. Omar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Moshe. The Almighty addressed Moshe and said, and this pasuk one should note, is in the context of the incident whereby the Jewish people were found worshipping the golden calf. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu was, understandably, was wrath-struck. And Omar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Moshe. So the Almighty said to Moshe Rabbeinu at that incident, Hamtein li, wait for me, ad shi'avru ponim shelzam. The word ponai is an expression of related to wrath, until my feeling of wrath leaves, v'aniach loch, and then I will leave you at peace. The Gemara asks, and here we start a discussion that will last quite a few lines of Gemara. So on the outside margin, notice under our Nosei heading, point one point is Rascha, the Kas de Kame Kutsho Brichu, the idea of anger or wrath as with regard to the Almighty. And of course, once again, we can't offer enough disclaimers on these topics, but when describing the Almighty, because of our inabilities to truly perceive Him, often the Chazal use human-type terms in order for us to relate to the matter. But realizing, of course, that the absolute truth is something beyond our comprehension. So the idea of wrath has to be taken with this qualification in mind, that we're not really expressing the true attribute of the Almighty, but for our purposes it's a state whereby the Almighty is displeased, to put it mildly. Another point that the Gemara will mention, Bilam yoda lechavin horega shakodesh brochu koyes. Bilam was a prophet from the Gentiles, who was at the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, when the Jews were leaving Mitzrayim. He was able to calculate and figure the exact moment of the wrath of the Kodesh Baruch Hu. As we will see shortly in the Gemara, it was a very momentary point in time that we can say that the Kodesh Baruch Hu experiences this emotion of wrath. So our Gemara continues. Umiiko rascho kame kutsho brichu. Does the Almighty, blessed be He, does He ever get angry? Does He have rascho's wrath, rage? So the Gemara answers, in yes, He does. Desanya, the pasuk says, v'kel zoem b'chol yom. The Almighty experiences anger every day. V'kamo zamo, and how long is that? Answer, rega. A moment. V'kama rega, how long is a moment? The Gemara answers, Echad mechameshes riboy ushmoines alofim ushmoine meos ushmoinim ushmoine b'shaw. 1/58,888 of an hour. A true fraction of time. Vizu hi rega, and that is what a rega is. The enko bria yecholo lechavin oisashah, and no creature, no person for sure can calculate that moment. Chutz mi Bilam Arasha, with the exception of Bilam, he had this unique ability to calculate the moment of the wrath of the Almighty. Dichtiv bei, regarding Bilam, the pasuk says something that the Gemara will say is a little bit of an eyebrow raiser, something a little odd, and eventually we'll come to this conclusion that the pasuk means what we just said. The pasuk that shows that Bilam was able to calculate that moment says V'yodea das Elyon. Now, translated, it says, and he knows the mindset of the Almighty. Now, that in and of itself can't be. The Gemara says Hashto das behemta lo haviyoda. Bilam was unable to debate his own animal, where there was a miraculous incident and the donkey that he was riding on started to speak and, in effect, defeated Bilam in debate, and so that he couldn't outwit his own animal. Das Elyon Havayoda, you would say that he has the knowledge of the Almighty. He knows the ways of the Almighty. Impossible. So what does it mean when the pasuk says "V'yodea das elyon"? Ela melamed sheyodea lechavin oisishah shakodesh baruch hu koyes bo. This is what he knew. He knew the moment that the Almighty experiences wrath. V'hainu de'omar lehu novi l'Israel. And with this in mind, that Bilam had that ability, the novi addresses the Jewish people later on and says, "Ami zechor no mayotz bolok melech moyov v'chulei." An address to the Jewish people, to reminding them of Bolok's scheme. Bolok was the king of Moab at that time, when the Jews were leaving Mitzrayim, and he wanted to get rid of the Jews through a curse, and Bolok hired Bilam to curse the Jewish people. And in that passage in the book of Micha, in Treyasar, in the Novi, the pasuk goes on to say, "My leman da sidkos Hashem." The Novi says to the Jewish people, "Remember the what Balak schemed to do." And in that context, if you remember that story, you'll remember the righteousness of the Almighty in His dealings with you, the Jewish people. So, what is that a reference to? What's the tzidkos Hashem, the righteousness of the Almighty with regard to the Jews in that context? Omer Rabbi Elazar, Amar Lahem HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael. Rabbi Elazar tells us that the Almighty was saying to the Jews, "De'u kama tzidkos osisi mochem." You should know how righteous and merciful I was with you. Shelokasti bimei Bilam Harosha, that I didn't allow any expression of wrath during the times of Bilam, the evil one. Shelmole kasti, had I experienced wrath during Bilam's time, lo nishtayim misayim shiyisrael sorry to pull it. There will be no one left of the enemies of Israel, and that is a euphemism, so that it's really saying there would be no one left of Israel, no remnant left. That's a sorer to pull it, no remnant or escapee from the people of Israel. Now, why is that? Because Bilam had the Almighty allowed himself to express wrath, Bilam would have been able to figure just that very moment, and at that very moment, Bilam could have issued a curse, and it would have taken hold because it would have found a welcome audience, so to speak, on the part of the Almighty in his moment of wrath. So the Almighty preempted that situation by not becoming wrathful at all during the times of Bilam. V'hainu tukamar le Bilam lebalak. And with that in mind, we understand what Bilam said to Balak. Bilam was hired by Balak to curse the Jewish people, and he was unable to get his curse to take hold. As the pasuk says, ma ekoiv lo kavokel, that which I curse, the Almighty doesn't curse along with me. Ma ezam lo ezam lo zam Hashem, and that I show anger and wrath, the Almighty doesn't go along with it in wrath. Malamed, this teaches us, shekol oisin hayomim lo zoam, that all of those years or that period of time, the Kodesh Baruch Hu did not express wrath whatsoever during the period, that incident involving Bilam. The Gemara asks, the kamo zamo, how long is the wrath of the Kodesh Baruch Hu? This Gemara seems to be asking a question very similar to that which was on the Gemara above, opposite the very end of the Rashi commentary. There in the Gemara itself, you saw the same question, v'kamo zamo, and here a similar answer. But before we go on, just let us note the triangle scheme that we have here. On the outside margin under our Mivneh heading, you can see this triangle with the colored and tip featured. She'elos be'inyan ka'aso shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a series of questions surrounding the issue of the wrath of the Almighty. So our Gemara continues, v'kamo zamo, how long is the wrath of Hashem? Rega, a moment. V'kamo rega, how long is a rega? Omer Rabbi Oven, v'itemo Rabbi Avino. Rega kememre, rega is the amount of time that it takes to say that, to say it. U'minolon de rega rosach, and from where do we know that the wrath of Hashem is a rega, is a moment? Shenemar, ki rega v'apoi, Chaim Birtzono. Apo is an expression dealing with wrath. So his wrath is a rega. Viboy Seima, another source, Mehocha. Number two, a second possibility, from the following pasuk, Chavi Kimat Rega Ad Yavor Zam, where the prophet says, hide yourselves for a moment until the wrath passes. So that you see that the length of time of wrath is associated with a rega, a moment. The Amas Rosach, when is this moment? Omar Abaye, Behanoch Tlas Shoi Kamaisa, during the first 3 hours of the day. In other words, during that time, there is a moment. Ki chivro karbalta de tarnegolta, the tarnegolta, when the crown of a rooster turns white, v'koi achad kara, and stands on one leg. As we've said before on many occasions, there are hidden messages in these kind of descriptions that you find in the Chazal, but those, the true meaning or the deeper meaning of these things beyond the purview of our Gemara markings Daf Yomi Shiur, so we're going to restrict ourselves, as we always do, to the basic translation. But once again, don't for a moment take these things at face value, realizing that there are many hidden secrets in these kind of Gemaras. So our Gemara says that the wrath of Hashem is during the first 3 hours of the day, at a point in time when the crown of a rooster turns white. The Gemara asks, "Well, kol shaita v'shaita nami koi hochi." It's like this all the time, very very often. It's not just one moment. The Gemara answers, "Kol shaita is bay suraiki sumaki." During the bulk of time, it has suraiki are spots, sumaki red spots on its crown. Bahi shaita, at the moment of wrath, less bay suraiki sumaki, these red spots disappear. So it's, you're dealing with a moment during which these red spots disappear and the crown is completely white. That's the moment of wrath. The Gemara now has an incident that lasts a couple of lines, and we have a little marking indicating the length of this. To the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, you can see the word Maisa written and circled with a descending vertical dashed line indicating these three lines of Gemara comprise the Maisa, this incident. Ahu Tzeduki, there was a Tzeduki. Dehave b'shivuse de Rabbi Shub ben Levi. Shivuse means in the neighborhood. In Rabbi Shub ben Levi's neighborhood, there was a tzeduki. A tzeduki is a person who is not associated with traditional Judaism, but rather they were a group of people that superficially, at least, adhered to the Torah shebiksav, to the written Torah, but not paying any heed to rabbinic teachings. So there was one of these people, the Havikom Mitzarle Tuva Bikra, used to upset Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi through psukim. It would probably challenge Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi with all kinds of questions based on the scriptures. Yumachad, one day, Shokal Tarnagola, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi took a rooster, the Ukme Bein Kare Da Arsa, and positioned it, stood the animal up, stood the chicken or the rooster by the legs of his bed. It could be that he tied this rooster to the legs of his bed, the ayin ba, and started to concentrate on this rooster. Sovar, figuring kimota hi shaita, when that moment comes, when the rooster's crown turns white, I'll curse him. I'll curse this tzeduki and be rid of him that way. Kimota hi shaita naim. When that moment came, Rabbi Shua ben Levi dozed off. Omar, he then said, noticing what happened, he says, he concluded from, we call from this, Hashkochas Hashem, that Shma mino lav urach aro lemev arhochi, v'rachamov al komasu ksiv, uksiv gam onosh letzadik loy toiv. So the Gemara tells us that he understood that as a result of his dozing off at that moment, lav orach aro, it's not derech eretz, it's not the right way, lemev arhochi, to do thusly, because the Torah says that the Almighty is merciful on all of his creations, and mercifulness is what one should have, and not this feeling of vengeance. And also it says Gam onosh letzadik lo tov, that a tzadik should not be responsible for someone else's punishment, for someone else's downfall and punishment. Therefore, it's min hashamayim, it's divinely ordained that I dozed off at that moment and didn't in fact curse him, and hence be guilty of this, of being a tzaddik who is causing someone else's downfall. Tana Mishmei, the Rebbe Meir. B'shol shachama zarachas v'chomalchei mizrach umarav v'nichukstrem b'rashem v'shtachvim l'chama. When the sun shines, that's chama zarachas, the sun shines, and all the kings of the east and west, they manichim kistrem b'rashem, they place their crowns on their heads and worship and bow to the sun. Miyad kayes HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is a, at that moment, the Almighty becomes angry. So that when the Almighty, who in His infinite kindness sustains the world and every last breath of every creature, and the entire existence is based on His will, and He notices people, members of humanity, here in this case kings, worshipping some other force, this causes His anger. We continue with statements of Rabbi Yochanan in the name of Rabbi Yossi. From Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Yossi, Toivo Mardus Achas Beliboy Shel Adam. Better is a feeling of self-reproach in the heart of man, Yoser Mikamo Malkios, more than numerous lashes. Rashi, on the upper part of the page, the third line from the top, Mardus Achas, Loshen Ridui Vachnot, feeling of self-reproachment and humility, Shodom Som Al Libo Me'elof, that a person experiences on his own, this feeling of, self-chastisement, and is a better means of controlling a person's behavior than many lashes. Shenemar, the Pasuk says, V'ridfo es me'ahaveha v'lo sasi goysom uvikshosom v'lo simotsei. V'omra eilcho v'oshuva el ishi horishon ki tov li oz me'ata. Looking at the Rashi at the top, V'ridfo es me'ahaveha, here the Pasuk is describing the wayward one, very likely the nation of Israel, that was Ritfas Mavel, was seeking out, was pursuing its lovers, in other words, strange forces, other powers, other nations, other god forms, and never achieved them, and then realized, as the Pasuk says, I'm going to go back to my first husband, which is of course a reference to the Almighty, I'm going to return to Him, because that there is nothing better than that. The Rashi says, the third line from the top, Ridfa Esmavel, Ukshatir Shein Oizer, when she sees, the here we'll say the nation of Israel sees that all kinds of approaches to idols, idolatry, doesn't help at all. Tosim al libo. She then places upon her heart, meaning realizes, Lemor Oshuvel Ishi Rishon. I have no benefit in all these other attempts to align myself with others. I am going to go back to my first bond, my first husband, the Almighty, who took us unto Him as His people. So that the emphasis here is the realization on one's own of what is really the best. That is the best thing. That is the strongest mechanism in order to straighten out an individual or a people. For Reish Lakish Omar, Reish Lakish, going on this point of Toiva Mardus, how effective self-reproachment is, Reish Lakish says, it's better than 100 lashings. Shenemar, Techas Geora B'Mevin Mehakos Ksil Mea. The idea of this pasuk is that that self-reproachment and self-critique is better for a better in the case of a person that has understanding more than 100 lashings of the fool. In other words, in terms of effectiveness, better is the wise man's self-critique than the lashings afflicted upon a 100 lashings afflicted on a fool. V'omar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Yossi. Before we continue in the Gemara, let's just glance at the Nosei, the topic heading that we have for this piece of Gemara. You'll notice there's a Nosei Mivneh on the outside margin, where a diamond with a Roman numeral number 1 and 2 appears. We have written there, Shnei Deos im Ne'ene Moshe Rabbeinu. Al Bakoshoso, was Moshe Rabbeinu answered in his request, Hodieni es Durachecha, where the Moshe Rabbeinu asked the Kodesh Baruch Hu, I would like to understand your ways. Tzadik Viralo, how could it be a pious one and that has it bad? Rosh Vitovlo, the wicked that has it good. I want to understand that. So in our Gemara, we'll see two approaches, and these are indicated with the diamonds 1 and 2. They are distant from one another, so you'll have to pay attention. Where does the number 2 in the diamond, the Roman number 2 in the diamond appear? You'll notice it's a number of lines down from where the 1 is. In the middle of line of the Gemara, you'll notice it says Upliga de Rabbi Meir, namely the approach taken by Rabbi Yossi is at odds with the approach taken by Rabbi Meir. Before we get to that, there's another marking we want to note. There's a double underline with dots in it, and we've explained that under our heading Gimel Bakoshos Shel Moshe Milifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'Nosan Lefi Rabbi Yossi, three requests that Moshe Rabbeinu asked of the Almighty, and he was granted all three, according to Rabbi Yossi, as opposed to Rabbi Meir, which we'll see later. So now, turning to the Gemara. The Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Yossi, Shloisha Dvarim Bikesh Moshe Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'Nosan Lo. The Moshe Rabbeinu requested of the Almighty three things, and he was granted. Number one, Bikesh Shetashri Shechino Al Yisrael V'Nosan Lo. He requested that the divine presence should dwell upon Israel, and he was granted that. Shnemar, Haloi Belechtecho Imonu. So that is that conveys the idea of the Kodesh Baruch Hu being in our midst. Bikesh Shelo Tashre Shechino Al Oivdekechovim V'Nosano. He requested that the divine presence shall not dwell upon idol worshippers, and he was granted that. Shinemar, the Pasuk says, V'niflinu ani v'amacha. That niflinu is an expression of being separate, that I and your nation will be apart from everyone else. Bikesh lehodio d'rochav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'nosan lo. And the third request is he wanted to know the ways of the Almighty, and he was granted that. Shnemar, hodieni no es durachecha. Show me or tell me, inform me of your ways. Omar Lifonov, Ribbono Shel Olam, Moshe Rabbeinu said, Almighty, mipnei ma yesh tzadik v'tov lo v'yesh tzadik v'ra lo. Why is it that there are righteous and that have it good, and there are righteous that have it bad? Yesh rosh v'tovlo v'yesh rosh v'ralo, that there are rishoyim that are the wicked ones that have it good and wicked ones that don't. Omar loy. So the Almighty said, Moshe, tzadik v'tovloy, the situation of a tzadik that has it good, tzadik ben tzadik, that's a situation of a righteous one who is the son of a righteous one. Tzadik v'ralo, tzadik ben rosha. The case of the tzadik that has it bad, that's a tzadik whose forebears were wicked. The third category, rosha v'tovlo, rosha ben tzadik. the Russia that has it good is a case of a Russia who benefits from the fact that his forebears were pious. Russia Veralo, the Russia that has it bad, the wicked one that things don't go well for him, is Russia Ben Russia. He's a wicked person continuing in the wicked ways of his forebears. Omar Mar, the Gemara now quotes from that which we just said and analyzes. Tzadik v'tovlo, tzadik ben tzadik. We said that tzadik that has it good is the righteous, the son of a righteous one. Tzadik v'ralo is a tzadik ben Russia. The Gemara asks, Amy, is that really so, that ra, that bad comes as a result of one's forebears? V'hoksiv, the Pasuk says, Pokeid avoin avois albonim, uksiv ubonim lo yumsu al avois. V'raminon kroi hadodi. We have two psukim that seem to contradict each other. One Pasuk says, Pokeid avoin avois albonim, that the Kodesh Baruch Hu will visit the sins of fathers upon his children, that children will pay for their father's sins. And the other Pasuk says that children, bonim lo yimsu al ovois, children will not die for the sins of their fathers. That's Romino and Kroya Adori, means these two psukim are raised as contradictory one upon the other. Umishaninon, and we answer, we resolve these. Lo kashya, ho kishoichsin maise aviseim biodehem. The situation of poiket ovois albonim, avon ovois albonim, where children pay for the sins of their fathers, that's a case where their oichsin maiseh v'seim yadayim, the children continue, they continue holding on the ways, the wicked, the evil ways of their fathers. So if they don't straighten out, so they end up carrying the burden of their father's sins as well. Ha kishein oichsin maiseh yadayim b'yadayim. The case of Bonim lo yumsu al avos is where the fathers may have been wicked. That's the case of Tzadik ben Rasha. The children are Tzadikim, children of Rishayim. And then, as the Pasuk says, the children do not pay for their father's sins. So we have a question. So how can you tell me that Tzadik v'ra lo is a Tzadik ben Rasha, indicating that since the father was wicked, so the offspring son will have it bad, when we just said here that should not be the case? Therefore, we come up with a number two. You can see we're dealing with why is it that there's tzadik v'ralo and tzadik v'toivloi, elo hochi ko'omar lei. Rather, thusly, the Almighty responded. You simply have to note, by way of markings, this is a second approach, the number two, in contrast to the number one approach that was three lines above, where you see we have a number one. So, rather, thusly, the Kodesh Baruch Hu said, Tzadik v'toiv loi tzadik gomor. The tzadik that has it good is a complete tzadik. Tzadik v'ralo, tzadik she'eno gomor. It's a person who's a tzadik, who's righteous, but not completely. Rasha v'toivlo, the wicked, the one that has it good, is Rasha she'eno gomor. He is wicked, however, but not completely. Has some positive attributes to him, or mitzvahs that he's performed, so he'll get reward for those mitzvahs, and hence you'll see him a Rasha that has it good. Rasha v'ralo, the wicked that has it bad, is Rasha gomor, a complete Rasha. Upliga d'Rabbi Meir. And with the markings, you can see what is going to happen right now. That which Rabbi Yochanan said in the name of Rabbi Yossi is at odds with Rabbi Meir. Specifically, the third request that we saw above, that was listed by Rabbi Yossi, and we also have a marking. This dashed underline under Rabbi Meir is contrasted with the dashed underline above under Rabbi Yossi, putting Rabbi Yossi against Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Yossi said above, in the third double underline with dots in it, Bikesh lehodia drachav shel Kodesh Baruch Hu v'nasano, here Rabbi Meir disagrees with that. Namely, the Omar Rabbi Meir, Shtayim nosnu lo ve'achas loy nosnu lo. Two of the three requests were granted to Moshe Rabbeinu, but the third not. Shinemar v'chanois yis asher ochoin. The Almighty says, as far as your question about my ways are concerned, I grant grace upon he who I want to grant them. Rashi says, Es asher ochon, es asher yichmu rachamai alav lishah ve'afalpi she'eno kedai. There are situations where I will show mercy upon someone even though he's not worthy of it. The Pasuk says as well, V'richamti es asher arachem, I will have compassion for whomever I want, afalpi she'eno hogun, even though they do not deserve it. In other words, the Kodesh Baruch Hu is telling Moshe Rabbeinu that my reaction to things, my expressions of kindness and grace and mercifulness upon those that to your eyes seemingly do not deserve it, that is my decision, and I'm not revealing to you based on what I act. The Pasuk says, Vayomer lo suchal lirois es ponai. You cannot see my ways. Tono mishmei Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha. You'll notice we have a little aleph here. This aleph will be contrasted with a second approach on the next line where you see upliga. So the a Tanaic source in the name of Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha says, Kach omar le HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Moshe. In this pasuk, when the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I cannot show you my ways, the Kodesh Baruch Hu is saying, Kach omar le HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Moshe. Thusly, the Almighty said to Moshe, Kishirotzitzi lo rotzitzo. In the incident involving the snat, the burning bush, I wanted to reveal myself to you, but you didn't want. The Pasuk says, as Rashi quotes it, Rashi says, quotes the Pasuk as, Vayaster Moshe Ponov, he hid himself. In other words, he declined, he ran away, so to speak, from this possible revelation. So when I wanted to reveal myself to you, you did not want. Achshav Sha'ata Roitze, now that you are asking me, we saw above the pasuk Hodieni Noz Derechecha, show me your ways. Well, Eini Rotze, I do not want. Upliga Reb Shmuel Bar Nachmeni. The approach of Reb Shmuel Ben Korcha is different than the approach taken by Reb Shmuel Bar Nachmeni Omer Reb Yonison. In other words, according to the Aleph approach, Moshe Rabbeinu's reaction to the Almighty in the story of the burning bush, of the snare, was a reaction that the Kodesh Baruch Hu did not appreciate, didn't like. Well, here we're going to see an opposite approach, where the Kodesh Baruch Hu found Moshe Rabbeinu's behavior quite favorable in that incident. The Omar Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni Omar Rav Yonison, Bishar Sholosh Zocha L'Sholosh. As a reward for 3 points involving the snare, that story of the burning bush, he merited 3 rewards. Bishar Vayaster Moshe Ponov, and here this pasuk is exactly that which Rashi quoted as in the Gemara just before. In the Tanaic source, where you notice 2 lines up, Kishirotzisi lo rotzisa, Kishirotzisi, when I wanted to reveal myself, you did not want. And on that point, Rashi quotes this pasuk by Yaster Moshe Ponov. And we see there, in Rabbi Shul ben Korcha's approach, that the Kodesh Baruch Hu did not like that. Here, regarding this very pasuk by Yaster Moshe Ponov, the Gemara says, Zocha leklaster ponim. He merited the reward of having a glowing face. This is when Moshe Rabbeinu descended from Har Sinai, he had a glow to him that is considered something of a very lofty and positive nature. Hence, he for hiding his face, he was zoche to a glowing face. So that this idea of Vayaster Moshe Ponov is something quite meritorious. Number 2, Bishar ki yorei, which we should note, by the way, that we have included the entire pasuk on the inside margin for your convenience. There, we've written under Shmois Paragimel Pasuk Vav, in the incident involving the snare, it said there, Vayaster Moshe Ponov, Ki Yorei Mehabit El Ha'elakim. Moshe Rabbeinu hid his face. He was fear struck of peering, of gazing upon the divine revelation of at the bush. So, in that Pasuk, it said, Ki Yorei. So, in reward for his fear, Zocha Levayru Migeshes Elov. He was Zoche to have to be such an awesome figure himself that people were out of awe of Moshe Rabbeinu, were fearful of drawing unto him. So you see that Yorei Mehabit is Yorei, the fear that he had there, the hesitancy that he had there, was positive. And Bischar Mehabit, and for the reward of his not looking, mehabit is from not from looking, means not looking, not gazing upon the divine revelation in the bush. Zocha leusmunas Hashem yabit. Of course, here emphasis on the word yabit. He was zocha to be able to perceive the tmunas Hashem, perceive some type of divine revelation. So we have these three points of Rav Yonason regarding the snare. In each point, you notice there's a certain focus on specific words that show this midah keneged midah relationship, this attribute for attribute relationship. Continuing in the Gemara, v'hasiroisi es kapi v'roisa es achorai. From this pasuk, we learn Omar Rav Chona Bar Bizna Rav Shimon Chasida Melamed Sheher HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe Kesher Shel Tfilin. We learned on Daf Vav that the Kodesh Baruch Hu wore tefillin. Again and again, we repeat so many times, but it doesn't hurt. These are figurative, illustrative points that are not to be taken literally. But there's a concept behind tefillin, and that concept applies to the Almighty. And the part of the tefillin is the knot on the tefillin. In this case, the tefillin shalrosh has a knot, and this Kodesh Baruch Hu's tefillin and its knot that were revealed to Moshe Rabbeinu. Kodesh Baruch Hu showed Moshe Rabbeinu the Keshet shall fill in from behind. That's what this pasuk, which said, "Vasirosis kapi," I will remove my hand, and I will allow you to see my back. Then that's the reference here. But for a truer understanding of this, one has to delve deeply into what is signified by the knot of the tefillin, and thereby gain a greater understanding. We must, though, continue in the Gemara. Before we look in the text, we glance at the outside margin under our nosei, our topic heading, where we have written, Kol dibor shiyotza mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'toiva, every statement of the Almighty that he mentioned something positive, that he would bring a reward, lo chazar bo, he did not renege on it, afilu im ne'amar al tanai, even if the reward was stated conditionally. So that even if those conditions were not met, we will find that Kodesh Baruch Hu nevertheless comes through on his promise all the same. So the Gemara we're about to learn is illustrated by our markings by a long point marking. You notice the Nun to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a descending vertical dash line indicating a Nekuda, a point. All of these lines of the Gemara will constitute the point. The Gemara continues, Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Yosi. Another statement of his, hence you see the diamond, Kol dibur v'dibur shiyotza mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'toivo. Every statement of the Almighty's that he mentioned for reward or for good, afilu al tnai, even if it was conditional, lo chazar bo, he didn't renege on it. Minolan, from where do we see this? Mi Moshe Rabbeinu. We see it from Moshe Rabbeinu, and the illustration is again a reference to the story above, where we find Moshe Rabbeinu and his dealings with the Kodesh Baruch Hu at a time of anger. And we see here it says Shenemar Herech Mimeni Vashmideim Ve'ese Eschel Goy Otzum, where the Kodesh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, listen, you're trying to pray on behalf of the Jewish people, leave me, allow me to destroy them, and I will make you unto a great nation. Even though Moshe Rabbeinu did continue praying for the salvation of Am Yisrael, and he, bitlo means he was able to void the wrath and threat of the Almighty, the threat of destroying the Jewish people. Even so, this idea of making Moshe Rabbeinu into a great nation was fulfilled in Moshe Rabbeinu's own offspring. We know from the Torah that when a census was taken, the Jewish people, specifically males over the age of 20, numbered over 600,000. So we see in the upcoming psukim quoted by the Gemara that Moshe Rabbeinu's own offspring, a number of generations later, numbered that very same number. Hence the promise, though conditional, to make Moshe Rabbeinu a great nation. We see numerically that Moshe Rabbeinu's own offspring eventually matched the number of the Jewish people at that time, at the time of the Kodesh Baruch Hu's promise. So the Gemara points this out with Psukim, Shenemar b'nei Moshe, Gershom v'Eliezer, the children, the sons of Moshe, were Gershom and Eliezer, v'yu b'nei Eliezer, Rechavio, Harosh, v'chulei, u'b'nei Rechavio, Rovu, Lamalo, v'chulei. The Pasuk is found in Sefer HaDivri HaYomim, which is a book that recounts a number of incidents in the early Jewish history, and it goes through a lot of genealogy. And here the Psukim mention the offspring of Moshe Rabbeinu, and it says that his offspring Ravu Lamala Vitoni Rabbi Yosef. Ravu means increase, Lamala means more than. So Rabbi Yosef teaches Lamala more than Mishishim Riboy, more than 600,000. Shishim is 60 and Rebo is 10,000. So it's 60 times 10,000, 600,000. Asya Revia Revia. The way Rav Yosef gets to this conclusion is through a word comparison. Ksivachav Ravu Lamala. Here in the context of Moshe Rabbeinu, you see this word Ravu Lamala. And Ksivachasam, regarding the Jewish people themselves, it says, Uvnei Yisrael Poru Vayishritzu Vayirbu. And the words are dashed, underlined for your convenience. You can see the word relationship. Hence the conclusion that Moshe Rabbeinu's offspring numbered the same. Continuing at the top of Daf Zayin, Omid Beis, Omer Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai. Miyoim Shebora Kodesh Baruch Hu Esa Olam Lo Hoya Odom Shekoro Kodesh Baruch Hu Odoin Ad Shebo Avram Avinu V'Koroi Odon. We should just take note before we go any further of the structural phenomenon of our Gemara. On the outside margin under our Mivneh heading, you notice a triangle. The triangle highlights the name Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai. Rabbi Yochanan on this Amud will be quoting a number of Maimros from the Tana Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. It's noteworthy that on Zayin Amud Aleph we had Rabbi Yochanan quoting a number of Maimros in the name of the Tana Rabbi Yossi. Here, Rabbi Yochanan is carrying on the tradition of quoting from earlier authorities. Here are statements in the name of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. The double underline is used with the dots in it, as you can see, to highlight the expression Miyoyim Shibor Shibor Hu Sa'olam Lohoya Odom, from the time that of creation till a particular point in time, there was no one else that did whatever is featured in the Gemara. Under our topic heading, you can see the Nosei, Avram Avinu was Horishon Shekora LaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Shem Odoin. There are different words or that we use to describe the attributes of the Almighty. There is the ineffable name, which we do not pronounce. It begins with a yud and then has a hey in it, and it ends up with a vav and a hey. So that is a name describing a certain attribute of the Almighty. There is a word Elohim, which describes another one, and there's Shakai, which is another. In our case here, there's the expression Adon, the Adnus word, which we don't pronounce it unless it's in the context of either davening or a brocha that one recites. We say Baruch Atah, and then the Adnus word follows. So that name, that attribute, was not used by anyone until Avram Avinu came on the scene. The Gemara continues, Shenemar, on the fourth line from the top. This is where we see Avram Avinu referring to the Almighty this way, Vayomer Hashem Bameh Eda Ki Yireshena. Avram says, he addresses the Almighty and says, Hashem, you see the Adnus word, which we don't pronounce, but you see here it in the Gemara, that he addresses the Almighty in that way, and he is asking in that particular incident, from how do I know that I will inherit? Omar Rav, we should take note of the fact that we're about to learn a point that lasts a number of lines. This is a long point. And to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara, you see the nun that's encircled with the descending vertical dashed line. Omar Rav, Af Doniel lo nene elo b'shvil Avram. Doniel lived many, many, many years after Avram Avinu. When he prayed, when he supplicated the Almighty, he was answered only because of the merit of Avram. Lo nene elo b'shvil Avram. Shenemar v'ato shma elokeinu el tfilas avducha ve'el tachununav. Doniel prays to the Almighty, hearken unto my supplications. V'ho'er ponecho al mikdoshcho hashomeim leman, and you hear the word adnus. And here, grammatically, it's a little odd. Leman cho miboy alei, it should have said here in his prayer, show kindness and mercy for your sake. He's addressing the Almighty on a personal level. So why does it say, when addressing the Almighty himself, why does he say leman, and he uses the word, the adnus word, leman chomi boyel, should have said for your sake, Ella. What is the intention of saying speaking this way, as is featured in the pasuk? So he meant to say, "Show mercy, leman Avraham shekor acha adon." For the sake of Avraham, show mercy for the merit of Avraham that called you by the expression adon. The Gemara continues. V'omar Rabbi Yochanan mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai minayin she'ein ratzin loy le'odom b'shas kaso. From where do we learn that one should not attempt to placate a person at his time of wrath? And this, by the way, we actually saw four on Omer Aleph, and we have a little star here. And if you look for Omer Aleph on Omer Aleph for a parallel star, on the right-hand side of the Gemara text, you'll see there the same teaching. However, there Rabbi Yochanan was quoting Rabbi Yossi, and here he quotes Rabbi Shimon Chai, both of whom seem to say the same drasha. From where do we know that one should not placate a person when he is in a state of wrath? Shenemar, Pona Yelechu v'anichosi lach. Pona Yelechu, as we explained earlier, first let my wrath pass, and then I will grant you peace. V'yoma Rabbi Yochanan mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai miyoyim shebora kodesh boch esoylomoy, from the time of creation lo hoya odom shehoido kodesh boch ad shebosa leo v'hodoso. There was no one that literally that said thank you to the Kodesh Baruch Hu until Leah came around, and she showed that characteristic of thanks, of acknowledgement. Shenemar, in the case of the birth of her son Yehuda, she said Hapam Odeh Es Hashem, and we've dashed underlined the word showing this this behavior of acknowledgement and thanks. Rashi explains on the top line, Shapam Oides Hashem Lefi Shirasa Baruch HaKadosh. She saw with divine inspiration, She Yankev Mamid Shneimo Soshvatim, that Yankev Avinu would her husband would produce the 12 tribes. Velo Arba Nashim, and he had 4 wives. He had Rochel and Leah, Bilhah and Zilpah. Kevon Shiolda Ben Revi, when she had her 4th son, now she's one of 4 women. So technically speaking, if through an equal division, she should have had 3 sons, each woman, 4 of them, each one having 3, 4 times 3, 12. She had a 4th son. She acknowledged her receiving an extra portion beyond that which should have been coming to her. On a broader sense, this concept of magia law, more than coming to one, we in our daily existence have to think and ponder, do we have anything coming to us? How are we in our behavior and fulfillment of mitzvahs on a balance sheet? How do we check out? So many of us will realize that we have a lot lacking, and yet the Almighty provides us with everything we need. And as a result of that, this expression of hodoya, of thanks, and acknowledgement should be on our lips at all times, recognizing that the simple ability to breathe and to continue existence is something that isn't necessarily coming to us. It's not necessarily something that we deserve. It's very likely beyond that which we deserve. And as a result, this mido, this characteristic, this attribute of hakoras hatov, of thankfulness, is something that is worth developing to quite an extent. Continuing in the Gemara, we have a new marking, a house form, and on the outside margin we have a Nosei Mivneh heading in this context. You see a house form featured, and you see Reuven and Rus. These are 2 names, and Mashma'usam Shel Shemus Ha'elu, the Gemara will be looking into the meaning of these names. Later in the Gemara will ask, from where do we know that there is significance in a name, that the name a person is called can actually be a reflection, or literally the cause of different characteristics that person has. So, looking into the Gemara, Reuven, this is the first son of Yaakov Avinu that was born to him through Leah. Amar Belozer, Amra Leah. Rabbi Lozer says that Leah said, Re'u, looking at the word Reuven, it's a compound expression of Re'u and Ben. Re'u is perceive, note. Re'u ma ben beni leben chami. Notice the difference between my son and my father-in-law's son. Now, Leah was married to Yankov. Yankov's father was Yitzchak. The son of Yitzchak, referred to here as a reference to Esav. Look at the difference between my son, Reuven, and Esav, my father-in-law's other son. The Ilu ben Chami, again, a reference to Esav, the son of my father-in-law, Afagav de Midaite Zavni Lechusa, even though he sold off his first birthright, knowingly, willingly. He willingly sold this Bechorah, first birth, to Yankov. And yet, Chazu Maiksivbe, note what it says regarding Esav. Esav came to regret what he did, and he said, Vayistayim Esav es Yankov. Esav had a feeling of hate and contempt toward Yankov. Uksiv, and it says, Vayomer hachi koroshmo Yankov yakveni ze pamayim. He says, Esav declares, I now understand why his name is Yankov. He tricked me, we'll say in a loose translation, he tricked me twice. So we see this frustration on the part of Esav when it's his own, he brought it on himself, and yet he can't accept it. Ve'ilu b'ni, and yet when it comes to my son, afagav the al-korche shakle Yosef lebuchurisimine, even though Reuven lost his first birthright to Yosef against his will. In other words, he didn't knowingly give it up. Dichtiv, uvachalolo yitzui aviv nitna b'chayrosu livnei Yosef. Without getting into the translation of the pasuk, but it says here that nitna b'chayrosu, the pasuk is referring to Reuven, and it says that his first birth status was given to Yosef, to another one of the brothers. Afilu hachi lo aknobe. And even so, Reuven doesn't show any contempt toward Yosef. Dichti vayishma Reuven vayatzileu miyodam. Reuven heard the cries of Yosef and went to save him. So that's what Reuven conveys, this idea of that Leah is mentioning. Notice, and all of this, of course, you can see is done with Ruach HaKodesh. You're dealing with a divine inspiration, because after all, the Reuven was named this at the point of birth, and yet the name has this ramification and influence regarding the future. And as we said, this is all through a level of divine inspiration. Rus, my Rus, what is the significance of that name? Rus, of course, in English referred to as Ruth. We read her, the Megillus, many communities have the practice of reading the Megillus Rus on the holiday of Shavuos. What is in that name? Omer of Yochanan, Shizovsov Yotsu Mimeno David, Sherivuhu, Sherivehu Lakorishbochu, Beshiros Vesishbochos. The word Rivehu is an expression we would say when one, let us say, is thirsty and drinks, he experiences a feeling of Rivaya, of satisfaction. So the word Rivaya in there, you see the resh and the vav that form the root, part of the root of that word, which is common to the name Rus, resh and a vav as well. So Rus, she was in effect the great grandmother of David. And Rabbi Yochanan says that the name Rus is associated with the fact that she had a descendant, David, who compiled many songs and praises of the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and thereby causing the Almighty a sense of satisfaction through his compositions. After seeing these two illustrations, the Gemara now asks, Minolon Dishmo Gorim, from where do we know that the name Gorim is a cause, that a name that a person is called, even though it's many, many years before actual incidents ever take place, but yet there's some type of connection or relationship. Omer Abelazar, the Omer Kro, the Posuk says, Luchu chazu mif'alos Hashem, asher som shamois ba'aretz. Al tikri shamos, don't read that word as shamos, elo shamos, so that the Posuk is saying, go and perceive the wondrous workings of the Almighty that places names in the world. For our purposes, though, we see that the name that a person receives is somehow there is some type of divine influence involved in the name that a person receives, and its hashpon effect on what that person is going to be. On a more practical level, one can say or and see from this that the idea of naming one's child whatever name he chooses is something that should be done with a great deal of seriousness and thought. And there is more to say on this topic, but not for now. Continuing in the Gemara, we have a topic heading and structural note in the outside margin where we will be featuring a Roman numeral number 1 and 2 a little bit later. Our note says in the outside margin, Shnei Limudim, there are two teachings, HaMevusasim ala Pasuk, that are based on the Pasuk that says, Mizmor L'David B'vorcho Mitnei Avshalom B'noi, a song of David's upon his running, his escape from his rebelling son Avshalom. One point is, Koshi Shel Tarbus Ro B'Sof Beis Shel Adam, the difficulty, the strain that's caused by a negative influence in one's house. And Loma Kosuv Mizmor Volokina, a second point that will be discussed is, why does this pasuk, which introduces which features David HaMelech at a point of difficulty, where he's running from his rebelling son, why does the term Mizmor, which indicates a song, something of a joyous nature, why is that word used and not the word Kina, a dirge, which would be more appropriate under such circumstances? So now the Gemara. The Omar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai. We continue with statements of Rabbi Yochanan quoting Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai. He says, Koshe tar b'sro v'sof b'sro sh'adam yoyser mimilchemes goig u'mogoig. It is of a greater pain and difficulty where one has within one's own house tar b'sro, negative force, negative influences. In modern Hebrew, the word tarbus is associated with culture. Something that as we said before, where there's a negative force within one's household is considered a greater strife, a greater difficulty, a greater struggle than the war of Gog and Magog. And the war of Gog and Magog is associated with the end of time, where a great war. Sometimes in English the term the Battle of Armageddon is used, something of a catastrophic nature. So to make the point of how troublesome how much trouble one feels, experiences with a negative force within one's own household, how awesome that is, the Gemara presents this using this analogy. It's greater than the war of Gog u'Magog. Shenemar Mizmor L'David, and it's proven, by the way, through Psukim, how troublesome Tarbus Ra is within one's own household. Shenemar Mizmor L'David B'vorcho Mipnei Avshalom B'no Uksiv Basrei. We're dealing with Psukim in Perek Gimel of Tehillim, so we quoted Pasuk Aleph, and in Pasuk Beis it says, Hashem Ma'rabu Tzorai Rabim Komim Olai. David HaMelech cries out, how much trouble I have, the masses are rising upon me. And that's a pasuk in the context of Avshalom's rebellion. The Ilu Gabi Milchemes Gog u'Magog Siv, regarding the war of Gog u'Magog, it says, Lomo Rogshu Goyim Ule'umim Yegurik. Why are the nations so in such upheaval? V'ilu ma rabu tzorei loksiv. You don't see this expression of how troublesome, how many troubles I have from my oppressors. That you don't have a statement of how much trouble I have from my oppressors when it comes to Gog u'Magog. But you do see that expression regarding his rebellious son, showing us how much more the feeling of pain and strife there is from one experiencing Tarbus Ra within his own household. Roman numeral number 2. Focusing on that, on the same pasuk of Mizmor LeDavid, Here, the Gemara asks, Mizmor LeDavid, Bevarcho Mipnei Avshalom Beno. The Gemara asks, Mizmor LeDavid, Kina LeDavid Miboy Alei. The word Mizmor is an expression of a song of joy. And here, he is described as running from his son, escaping from his son. So wouldn't it be more appropriate to say a dirge of David, Kina LeDavid? Now, the Gemara answers, Omar Reb Shimon ben Avishalom, Moshe Lema Dover Doime. To appreciate this, one uses an analogy, a moshel. To what is this comparable? La'adam shiyotzel of shtar choiv, kredim, regarding a person, shiyotzel of shtar choiv, meaning a bill or a debt that is being presented to a bill of collection from a person. A person owes money. So the Gemara says, kredim shiporo hoya otsev, before he pays it, he is sad. He has the pressure of having to pay the debt. La'acha sheporoi someach. After a person pays off the debt, he feels joy. Af kan. So too over here. Here we have the first. We have the example, the mashal, and now the nimshal, the analogy. David, Kevan Shamar Lo Kodesh Baruch Hu, David was informed earlier by the Almighty. Hinani Meikim Olecha Ra Mi Beisecha. I am going to cause evil to rise forth from your house. Some raw, bad will come forth from your house. Well, David Amelech hears from the prophet that the Almighty is going to bring bad upon him. Hoya Otsev. He was saddened. Omar Shemo Eved Omamzer, who the Lo Chayasalai. Maybe the bad that's going to come forth from within my household is bad coming from an Eved, from a slave, or a Mamzer, an illegitimate child. And these are people that don't have compassion. So the Lo Chayasalai, that won't show any mercy toward me. Came on the Chazad Avshalom, who, when he saw that the bad that was going to come forth from his house was his own son, Sameach, he was happy because he realized that as bad as things could get, he still will have some grain of compassion on me. So initially he was anticipating the worst, and it was revealed to him that it wasn't as bad as he thought it might be. So he was happy. Mishum Hochi Omar Mizmor. Because of this, he used the expression Mizmor, a song of joy. The Omar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Before going on in the Gemara, we have a topic heading, the Nosei, in which we've written, Mutar Lizgaros Berushoyim Bo'olam Hazeh. It is allowed for a person to challenge the wicked in this world. And another point will be, Lami Mutar Masai. Who is allowed to challenge the wicked in this world, and when, under what circumstances? So Rabbi Yochanan, quoting Rabbi Shmuel Chai, says, "Mutul hisgaros b'rishoyim b'olam hazeh." It is allowed to, one is allowed to challenge, literally to incite, but it's in the sense of to pose a challenge to the wicked in this world. Shenemar, oizvei Torah yahalulu rosha v'shomrei Torah yizgaru bom. Those who abandon Torah, so they will be praised by the wicked. The Shomrei Torah, the ones who keep the Torah, they, Yisgaru Bom, will challenge them. Tanya Namihochi, Rabbi Dostoy, Rabbi Moson Omer, we have a Tanaic source supporting this idea, where Rabbi Dostoy says, Mutar Lizgar Zrisham Olam Hazeh, it is allowed for one to challenge the wicked in this world. Shinemar Oyuzvei Torah Yalu Rosha, V'chulei, as we saw before, the pasuk that ended off saying, V'shomrei Torah Yisgaru Bom. As we go on in the Gemara, continuing in this very topic, we're going to notice a new marking, a volcano shape that will be flip-flopping. So under our Mivneh heading, you see we feature this shape, and we call it a Ma'akav. Ma'akav is an attempt to keep track of a give-and-take structure of Gemara. With the narrow part facing up, they represent kushios, questions, and when flipped over, they represent responses, tshuvos. After having said this, that it's allowed for one to challenge the wicked in this world, if someone, lachshach literally is to whisper to you, but if someone attempts to say to you, and say, v'hoksiv, but doesn't it say, al tischar bamreim, al tikani, but you say, avla, don't challenge and compete with the wicked, and don't incite the osi avla, the sinners. So that from this pasuk one sees that one should avoid confrontation and challenging the wicked. And more lo, so you tell him back, someone who has a guilty conscience, who is afraid of his own sins, will say that. Elo, al tischar bamreim. So what is the pshat in this pasuk where it says don't strive with the wicked? Al tischar bamreim means lios kamreim. Don't compete with the wicked to be like them, to try to outdo them in wickedness. Al tikane boise avlo means lios koise avlo. Don't be jealous of them with a sense of jealousy to be like them. But the omer, al yikane libcho b'chatoim ki'im b'yiras Hashem kol hayom. The feeling of jealousy that one has in his heart should not be for sinfulness, but rather a jealousy, a desire of achieving fear of Hashem. That's what one should attempt to achieve. Well, the Gemara asks, Amy, is that really so? V'amar of Yitzchak, Imrisa Rosh Hashem Esachet Yitzloi Al Tizgare Boi. If you see a wicked person for whom the hour is positive for him, that things are going well for this wicked person, don't start up with him. Al tizgarabo, don't incite him, don't challenge him. Shenemar yochilu drochav b'chol eis. The pasuk says that his yochilu is an expression of success. He is successful. If you do challenge the Rasha who is having it good, the Rasha will defeat you in court, will outdo you, will be successful, will defeat you. Shinema, the continuation of the Pasuk says, this is, we're referring to the Pasuk in Tehillim Perek Yud, Pasuk Hey, we continue in that Pasuk, it says, Moroim Mishpatecha Minegdo, he has the upper hand in justice, in judgment. V'lo'od Ela Shiroya Betzorov, not only that, but he will see the downfall of those who challenge him. Shinema, Kol Tzorerov Yofiach Bohem. Well, what do we see from here? That it's not advisable to challenge the wicked. Lo kashya, no, there is no problem. We answer. And you'll notice that we have a numbering scheme because there are several different approaches to resolve what we see here. On the one hand, we see that one can challenge the wicked, and on the other hand, we see it's not advisable. So the first approach is ha b'mili didei, ha b'mili d'shmaya. It depends. If it's matters that are of a personal nature to the wicked, as opposed to matters that are of a divine nature, of a mitzvah related. Shmaya is literally of heaven, heavenly matters. So that if you're dealing with him on his personal level, and you see a Russia, don't start up with him. However, if it's a matter of heavenly matters, of mitzvah-related matters, so then one could challenge him. V'boy seima, another approach, ha v'ha b'mili d'shmaya. Both aspects, yes, start up with him, not start up with him, are within the singular realm of mili d'shmaya v'lo kashya. And still, there is no contradiction. Ha b'rosha shasho mesachek islo. One case is where the Russia you see is having it good right now. The fate is smiling upon him. Don't start up with him, even if it's in order to chastise him for holy purposes, for religious purposes. Ha b'rosha shein hasho mesachek islo. The source that we saw that one is allowed to start up with him is a case where the Russia is not experiencing the smile of fate upon him, where things aren't going so well. So you see that it is the time to try to set him straight. V'boyesema ha v'ha
Barosho Sheha Shah Misacheke Slo. In fact, both ways of dealing with the wicked, yes, challenge, not challenge, are concern a Russia that is having it good. And yet, below Kashia, it depends on who is starting up with him. Ha'bet Sadik Gomor, Ha'bet Sadik She'eno Gomor. If the one posing the challenge to the Russia, even if we're dealing with a Rosh Hashanah Masachek Islo, if he is a Tzadik Gomer, then he is allowed. If the one challenging the Rosha is not a complete Tzadik, Tzadik Sheino Gomer, then he's advised to desist. We have a bracketed section here, and there's a bracket explanation we have on the inside margin where you see the star. Sagraim L'Shem Dilug, these brackets are for an initial skipping. Kedei lekarev gisha haravias leho delefanav, so as to show that there is a fourth approach, and enable us to connect the fourth approach to the third approach. Besocha sagram gemara mevaseses tshuva hashlishes. Within the brackets, the gemara will bring support to the third approach. So that having been said, let's go now straight through the brackets. We had made a distinction between Tzadik Gomor and Tzadik Sheino Gomor. Where do we see a precedent for making such a distinction? The Omer of Huna, Mai Dichtiv, Lomo Sabit Boidim Tachrish Bevala Rosha Tzadik Mimenu. Where the Novi, the prophet, is saying, why do you, the Almighty, look upon a situation where the wicked are consuming the righteous, and you remain silent? So the Gemara asks, "V'chi Rosha Bolei Atzadik?" Is it possible that a Rosha consumes, that the wicked consumes the righteous? V'oksiv Hashem lo yazvenu biyodo. We see elsewhere where the pasuk says that the Kodesh Baruch Hu does not abandon the righteous one in the hands of the wicked. Uksiv lo yuna l'tzadik kol oven. No evil will befall the righteous one. Ella. So the resolution here is Tzadik Mimenu Bolea, someone who is more righteous than the wicked one. So that if you have someone that's wicked and someone's a little less wicked, he's called Tzadik Mimenu. He's a little more righteous. Well, someone like that is not totally righteous. He's just more righteous than that particular wicked one it described. In such a case, the more wicked, the extreme wicked, will be able to consume the tzaddik. However, tzaddik gomor eino bolea. If you're dealing with someone that's totally righteous, so under dealing with that, so the wicked will not consume him. The Eboy Esemo, another approach, Shaw Misachekislo, shiny, that in general it is Mutter Lizgaros Borishoyim. However, where you see Shaw Misachekislo, that is different. In fact, in the initial question that was asked, if you one of the earlier questions was brought from Rav Yitzchok's comment. He says, if you see a Rosha that's having it good, so don't start up with him. So here the Gemara says, yeah, that's a very specific case. That's where the Rosha is having it good. So don't start up with him. Only then we say, Ein Lisgaros Burishoyim. The Omer Rav Yochanan Mishum Rav Yishum Ben Yochoy, Kol HaKaveh Mokum L'Tfiloso. And before we go on in the Gemara, we have a topic heading here. On the outside margin, the Nosei, we reads, HaKaveh Mokum L'Tfiloso'i, Oivov Noiflim Tachtov, a person who has a fixed place for his davening, so his enemies fall beneath him. And a second point that we'll see in the Gemara is Gedoila Shimusha Shel Torah Yoser Milimuda. Greater is one who serves a Torah scholar more than the actual study under the Torah scholar. So that the service that one provides for a Torah scholar is considered of greater benefit than the actual learning from him, which we'll see shortly in the Gemara. The Gemara continues, V'omar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochoi, Kol HaKaveh Mokom L'Tfiloso Oivov Noiflim Tachtov, a person who has a fixed place for his davening, so his enemies will fall under him. Shenemar, V'samti Mokom Lami Yisrael, v'natativ v'shochan tachtov v'lo yugizu od v'lo yusifu b'nei avlo la'noisoi kasher bo rishona. So you see in this pasuk, samti mokom, the establishing of a place. So when we see the establishing of a place, the pasuk goes on to convey this idea that the such a person who has an established place will be no longer afflicted by his enemies. Rav Huna raises a discrepancy between two psukim that seem to parallel one another. In Sefer Shmuel, Ksiv La'anoso, this is the pasuk we just read, where the pasuk says, "V'lo yosifu b'nei avlo," the b'nei avlo, the wicked ones, will no longer continue la'anoso, to oppress. Uksiv in Sefer Divrei Hayomim, where the same pasuk more or less is quoted, the word lechaloso appears. There are other texts have the word levaloso, which is to destroy, to completely eradicate. So how do you resolve? On the one hand, the pasuk says in Sefer Shmuel that the wicked will no longer oppress, and the other pasuk says the wicked will not eradicate. The Gemara answers, it's just a progress of time. B'tchilo la'anoso. Initially, the wicked described attempt to oppress. Ulebesof l'chaloso. Let us glance at the Rashi to appreciate this a little more. B'tchila, Rashi says, toward the end of the Rashi commentary, kishe nivne habayis, when the Beis HaMikdash was built, nivne al menas shelo lanois oid oivim l'Yisrael. It was built with the intent that the enemies would no longer oppress the Jews at all. Ulebesof, however, kishechotu, when the Jews sinned, nigzar aleim inui, there was ruled from heaven that they will be oppressed. Utfilosam mogin aleim mina kilyon, their prayers were successful in preventing their total destruction. So that these two psukim are referring to two different states, two different time periods. Originally, the intent with the building of the Beis HaMikdash that the Jews will have no oppression whatsoever. But after sinning, that no longer could be achieved. But at least they shall, through their prayers, be spared of total destruction. The Gemara continues. V'yomer Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, Gedoyla Shimusha Shel Torah Yoser Milimuda. Greater is the service of Torah, meaning serving a Torah scholar, Yoser Milimuda, more so than the learning of the Torah itself. Shinemar, the pasuk describes Elisha the prophet, who was a disciple of Eliyahu Hanavi. And yet, when describing Elisha, it describes him as one who served his master, as opposed to learned from his master. It says, "Po Elisha ben Shofar asher yotzak mayim al yedei Eliyahu." Yotzak is to pour water over the hands or for Eliyahu, his teacher. Lomad lo nemar doesn't describe Elisha as someone who learned by Eliyahu, yotzak, but poured, which is an act of service. Malamit shigedola shimusha yoser limuda. From here we see that it is considered of a greater nature to serve than to study. Omar, and now on a general level, one can say that as great as we'll say textual study is concerned, when one sees the lessons of the Torah in a living form as they are carried out, as would be the case if you're serving a Torah scholar, so that has greater value than simple, we'll say, textual or factual learning. This is more of the next stage of what you've learned, how is it to be carried out, so that can be achieved when you are in service of a Torah scholar. Amalei Rabbi Yitzchok Rav Nachman, my taimo lo osi mor lo be kenishta litzuyei. Rav Yitzchok asks Rav Nachman, why is it that you did not come to shul to daven? Amalei lo yachilna. So Rav Nachman says, I couldn't, I was weak, I was unable to. Amalei, Rav Yitzchok says, lechanfi lemor asora velitzli. Rav Yitzchok says, so should we gather 10 people for you, so that you can have a minion, a group, a quorum of people in which together which you will be able to daven. Amalei tricholi milsa. Rav Nachman says this will pose a difficulty for me. I can't. It's a strain for me. V'leimo le mor l'shlucha de tzibura be'idno de matzli tzibura leisi v'lo de lamar. So Rav Nachman, Rav Yitzchok suggests that that you should tell the shliach tzibur, you should tell an official that when the tzibur is getting together to daven, when the community, when the minion of people is getting together to daven, that they should that he should inform you, so that at least you will daven on a personal level at the same time that the tzibur is davening. Amalei mai kulei hai. So Rav Nachman, after hearing Rav Yitzchok's suggestions one after the other, says, what is this great concern that you have, or of what significance is it that you're so interested in my davening somehow being paralleled or attached to the public's davening? Amalei, so Rav Yitzchok answers, the Omer Rav Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochoi. My dichtiv, we're at the top of Daf Ches Omer Aleph. That, what is it that it says, V'ani tfilosi l'cho Hashem eis rotzon? You'll notice we have a double underline with dots in it. On the outside margin under our Nosei Mivneh Henning, Memros, these are comments in the Gemara, the Ace Rotzon, Hu Hashosha Tzibur Mispalin, that the moment of Rotzon, of the Kodesh Baruch Hu's grace and kindness, is at the time that the public is davening. And the second point that we'll see here is Ein HaKodesh Baruch Hu Moyos B'Tfilosan Sharabim, that the Kodesh Baruch Hu shows no disdain toward public prayer. So our Gemara continues with regard to the why Rav Yitzchok was so concerned that Rav Nachman's davening, even though he may be in the privacy of his home, somehow be paralleled, timed together with the public's davening. Well, it's based on this pasuk that says, "Vanit filosi l'cho Hashem eis rotzon, emosai eis rotzon." When is it a time of kindness and grace? Bishah shat sibor misbal, when the public is davening. So that if even the timing, even though in physically you're not in the presence of the sibor of the 10 people of the quorum, nevertheless you are timed together with them, so that the timing is itself significant. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina Omar Mehacha. Rabbi Yossi says, from the following you see this idea. Ko amar Hashem be'eis rotzon anisicha. At the moment of kindness, I answer you. So that there is a concept of an eis rotzon, a time. And Rav Acha Rabbi Chanina amar mehocha. Rav Acha says, you see this from the following. Hein kel kabir velo yimos. Uksiv poda b'sholom nafshi mikrov li ki berabim hoyu imodi. These two psukim communicate the idea that in the first pasuk, kabir means a large number, a public, the prayer of the public, the Kodesh Baruch Hu will not disdain. In other words, will grant it a hearing, will listen to, will hearken unto it. And the second pasuk also indicates that ki berabim hayu imodi, I was praying together with the public, and that's why I will experience salvation. Tanyo Namihochi, a Tanaic source, supports this. Rabbi Nosson Omer, Minayin Shein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mo'eis B'Tfilosin Sharabim. From where do we know that the Kodesh Baruch Hu does not disdain the prayer of the public? Shenemar, Hein Kael Kabir V'lo Yim'os, Uksiv Podub Sholem Nafshi, Mikrovli, and V'chule, as we saw before, Ki Barabim Hoyu Imodi, I was together with the public. My poda mishalom nafshi. In the pasuk we quoted, we saw this expression. What is meant by that poda mishalom nafshi? Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kol ha'isik b'tirv mishasodim u'mispalol im hatzibor. Anyone who is involved with Torah study and acts of kindness and davens together with the public, ma'alo ani alav, I consider him kilu podani li ulavonai mibein umos olam, as if he redeemed me, says the Almighty, and my children from the Jewish people, redeemed us from amongst the nations of the world. This concludes today's Gemara section. For those who are interested, there follows a shiur on today's Tosfos. We now turn to Daf Zayin Omer Aleph, and we see Tosfos Shi'il Mole, where the Gemara had mentioned regarding Bilam, who was capable of defining the moment of the wrath of Hashem, where Hashem declares through the Navi at a later time in history, remember that the kindness I show to you, that at the time of Bilam I did not show any wrath, because had I shown wrath, no one would be left from the Jewish people as a result of Bilam's effective curse. Tosfos asks, "V'im tomar ma hoyo yochol lomar b'shas rega?" If the length of time of the wrath of Hashem is described as a fraction of a moment, what could a person say in such a short time frame and yet be effective in destruction? So, answer number one, Yesh Lomar, Kalem. If the length of time of the wrath of Hashem is Rega, and we saw in the Gemara how long is a Rega, the amount of time it says to say Rega, so the amount of time it takes to say Rega is the same amount of time that the word kalim could have been said. Kalim means destroy them. And that would have taken hold because Bilam was able to lock into that very moment in time. Inami, a second approach to answering this question of what could have been done in such a short amount of time. Me'achar shohya maschil klosu b'yisushah. All that would have been required is to start the curse at that moment. So even if the curse itself would take longer than a rega to say, the only consideration is you start it at the right moment. Hoya mazik afilul achar kain. He could cause damage even after that particular moment passed, because he locked into the beginning of that point in time. We saw in the Gemara an incident involving Rabbi Shua ben Levi and a tzeduki that was oppressing and afflicting Rabbi Shua ben Levi. And in the story, we saw that in his attempt, Rabbi Shua ben Levi's attempt to take revenge on this tzeduki, to punish him, he ended up being unsuccessful. So the Tosfos says, "Hahu Siduki Dav Shusid of Shuman Levi." There was the Tzuki in the neighbor of Shuman Levi, etc. Lavo Rochara. He came to the conclusion that it's not Derech Eretz to be responsible for their punishment. The Tosfos continues and says, "Afal Gav Dehat Sidukim Moridin Velo Malin." Even though, based on the Gemara in Maseches Avodah Zorah Dav Chovov, it says there that a Siduki, one is allowed to morid in this, to allow to push him into a pit, which eventually he will die as a result of that. And if you see him in trouble, v'lo malin, you don't bring him out, you don't extricate him. So we see there that one is allowed to punish the tzedukim. Why then, in our Gemara, does Rabbi Shulman Levi conclude that it's not proper to be responsible for their punishment? Hainu bidei Adam. That which the Gemara in Avodah Zorah says that it's okay to punish them, moridin, as we said, to shove them into a pit, that is if you are going to take care of it, that people will take care of it. In our Gemara, though, it wasn't as if Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi was physically going to punish him. He was going to curse the Tzeduki and expect some type of divine retribution to be visited upon the Tzeduki. So, with regard to that, Tosfos says, "Avol bidei shamayim lav orach aro lahanisham la'tricham ulahargam bidei shamayim shelo kederech bnei adam." To have a divine involvement, which is not the way of man. In other words, it's not a natural type of punishment. This is what Reb Shimon Levi said should not be done. Ve'i garsinon hocha oyve kichavim nicha. In our Gemara, had the text been instead of Tzeduki, who is we'll call him a Torah skeptic, where he denies the Torah Shebaal Peh and accepts only the Torah Shebiksav, rather had the text featured an idol worshipper, then nicha, then things would be much smoother in so far as Rabbi Shul ben Levi's conclusion that it's lav orach ara. Rabbi Shul ben Levi said that it's gam onush letzadik lotov, that a tzadik should not be involved in punishment. Had the text dealt with eight ovi kachovim, it would have been smoother. Why is that? The Komar Hosam, it says there in Maseches Avodah Zorah, ha'ovi kachov v'roi bok behemo daka, idol worshippers and shepherds of light cattle, lo ma'alin v'lo yimoridin. Without getting into the details of the issue concerning the shepherds, that's tangential for our discussion right now, but it does mention Oivei Kechovim. Regarding idol worshippers, there we are told that if you see him in trouble, so you don't have to save him, but lo moridin, we don't push him in, we don't punish him. The Oivei Kechovim is someone that we don't take the law into our own hands regarding him. So that Rabbi Shua ben Levi's conclusion here, if it's not right to punish, had the text read in Ovei Kechavim, then we wouldn't have had to make any distinctions as we did above, and simply say, that's right. It's not right to punish for a person to take the law into his hands and punish the idol worshipper. According to the text that we have, you're dealing with the Tzeduki, where it is proper to punish the Tzeduki. There, Tosfos had to say, that is limited to where the person himself is involved, but to arouse heavenly wrath upon the Tzeduki through a curse, that a tzaddik should not do that. Continuing on Amud Beis, Tosfos, Lo hoya odom shekoroi odom. This Tosfos raises a question concerning the fact that we see other psukim, and in the opening of Tosfos we find by Noach, he used the word Adon, or he seemingly used that word, and Tosfos will answer that, and yet there are more questions regarding other psukim that Tosfos will raise. So we begin. Lo hoya Adam shekara Adam v'im tomar v'hoksiv. Does it not say by Noach, Baruch Hashem Elokei Shem? Now, we've dashed underline Hashem, thinking that is a reference to the Adnus word. V'yesh lomar, Tosfos answers, D'hosam eno ba'alef dalet. The name there in the context of Noach was not the Aleph Dalet, the Adnus word, Shehu Lashon Adnus. It was a different name of Hashem that Noach used, not the Adnus word. V'im Toimar, coming back to the focus on Avram, who did use the Adnus word, Amai lo maisi kro, why did our Gemara not quote the following pasuk? Hashem ma titen li, shehu kasuv koidem. The quote of Hashem ma titen li is pasuk beis, perek tesva pasuk beis. The pasuk that was quoted in the Gemara, referring to Avram, was pasuk ches of Perek Tesvav. So, if if you're already focusing on Avraham, why do you quote a later Pasuk Ches, when you see in Pasuk Beis Avraham Avinu using the Agnus expression? V'yesh lomar, Tosus answers, Shaparshios lo nemru keseder. The Parshios, the Torah text, is not written in a chronological order. V'ein muktam u'me'uchar b'Torah. You don't have, in terms of textual order, a reflection of chronological order. Ein muktam u'me'uchar. There's no earlier and later in the Torah. The concept of this parallel between textual order and chronological order, it doesn't exist. V'zeh ha'posuk debein ha'psorim, Pasuk Ches that the Gemara quotes, which was at the Bris Bein Absorim, the covenant made as is featured in the Torah, Hoya Koidem Lochein, was chronologically earlier than Pasuk Beis. Tosis was suggesting, why not quote Pasuk Beis when you why quote Pasuk Ches when you could have quoted Pasuk Beis? Tosis is answering because the story of Pasuk Ches is actually earlier in time, and that's why the Gemara quoted that. That was the first time, so to speak, that we see the Agnus expression used. And now Tosis goes on to a very detailed proof of this issue of chronology. V'chein tzorach lomar al korchoch, and you have to say this answer, Sharei Avrom hoya ben shivim shana bebris bein absorim. Avrom Avinu was 70 years old at the story involving the Bris Bein Habsarim, which we said before was in Pasuk Ches. Pasuk Ches, if you open up a Chumash, you will see that that is in the context of the special covenant featured there. The Achar Hadvar Mo'ela, this is Pasuk Aleph, from which Pasuk Beis follows, that was Ne'mar Achar Milchemes Hamalochim. That was stated, that story took place after the war with the kings. Kidapirish Rashi, but Pirish Chumash, as Rashi explains in the Chumash. The Pasuk says, V'achar Advor Ma'ela, meaning after the war with the kings. Uvimilchemes Hamalochim Hoya Ben Shivim V'Shaloshanim. Avram, at that point, where Pasuk Beis appears, was 73 years of age. Sharei kol hayomim shel sdoim. Now the war with the kings, in that war, we know that we're dealing with the king of Sdom was involved. The Tosus explains some historical chronology. Sharei kol hayomim shel sdoim nun beis shanim. The entire existence of Sdom was for over a period of 52 years. Kidamrina beperikama de Shabbos, as is pointed out there in the first parak of Masecha Shabbos, say mehem, take the 52 number, subtract from that, say mehem, yud beis shanim sha'ovdu es kedolom. Well, they were under the control of the king whose name was Kedorla Omer. That's 12 years under his rule. The Yud Gimel Shonim Shom Rida, and 13 years of rebellion. And following that, you have 25 years accounted for over here. Following that, there was quiet in Sdom. The Nishar Mishuva Chof Vav Shonim. So when you have 25 of the 52 years we just accounted for the rule of Kedorla Omer and 13 years of rebellion, that leaves you with 26 more years. That's Vinishar Mishuva Chavav Shanim Shahisa B'Shalva, 26 years of peace. Realizing, of course, that we're maybe off by one, but you have to factor in here fractions of a year as well. So when we know there's a total of 52 years for Stone's existence, 25 of those years were involved with the oppression and or rule plus rebellion, leaving a balance of 26 years of peace, at which time it was then destroyed. Sodom was destroyed. Avram ben Tzadi Tes Shonam. Avram, at the destruction of Sodom, was 99 years of age. The destruction of Sodom, we know, was 1 year before Yitzchak was born. And when Yitzchak was born, Avram was 100 years of age. So at the point of destruction, he was 99 years. Tzei mehem shisha ve'esrim shana l'mafreya. Take off of 99, 26 years of peace of Sodom. That's... Seimehem Shisha Esrim Shana Lamafreya Shel Shalva, of the peace that Sodom had. That takes you back to the point of the war that took place at the end of the 13 years of rebellion. Nimsa Sheben Shivim Vishalo Shana Hoya Bimilchemes Hamlochim. If you take 99, subtract from that the 26 peaceful years of Sodom that they achieved after the battle. How old was Avram Avinu at the point of the battle's conclusion? He was, 99 minus 26, that gives you 73. Im kein, hoysa parshas ben absorim, it results from all of these calculations that the incident involving the bris ben absorim, that was posuk ches, where he was 70 years old, chodem leparshas achrei havorim shalosh shonim. The incident featured in Pasuk Ches is actually 3 years earlier than that which is featured in Pasuk Beis. The Oisa Parsha, the opening section of Perek Tesvov, Misayemes ends by Achshevel Lo Yitzidoka at Pasuk Vov. So that from let's say, Pasuk Aleph till Pasuk Vov is one unit, and at that time he was 73 years old. And Pasuk Ches, which is part of the second unit, he was only 70 years old. L'kach hevi oisai pasuk devame eda shehu mukdam. Pasuk Ches, which was part of the Bris Bein Absorim, was earlier than Pasuk Beis, and that's why it, Pasuk Ches, was quoted. At that's the point we see Avram calling the Almighty using the term Arnus. And that's why we opted to quote Pasuk Ches, which is chronologically earlier than Pasuk Beis, even though Pasuk Beis may have been written textually in an earlier position. Umize miyashev Rashbam, and with this the Rashbam resolves the b'mokum echod mashma shoya laylo. When you look at the psukim at Perek Tesvov, and you just like skim through the psukim without paying attention to chronology, to historical timing, so mashmasha, when you, in one place it looks like shoya laylo, dichtiv usfor hakochavim. If you look in Perek Tezvov, posuk hey, it says, go out and count the stars, indicating nighttime. Ubosar hochi, in posuk yudbeis, ksiv ayhi hashemesh lovoi, mashma shehu yom. And the sun was shamish lavo, means the sun was about to set. So it sounds like that portion of the Torah is dealing with a story in the daytime. So you're looking at Perek Tesvav once again. In Pasuk Hey, it seems nighttime. Pasuk Yudbeis, it seems daytime. Helavadai Shmamino, rather, you have to conclude the Shnei Parshios Heim. There are two separate sections. Namely, Pasuk Hey is part of the section that took place after the War of the Kings. And section where you find Pasuk Yudbeis mentioned, that is part of the Bris Bein Absorim, which took place when Avram was only 70 years old. V'lav v'vas achas nemru, they weren't said together. These psukim were not part of the same section in time. And there is no earlier and later when it comes to the Torah. And what that means is order of text does not reflect chronological order. We have provided a little bit of a chart for this Tosfos on the inside margin of your Gemara, where you can see we've indicated the Tosfos Dibur Maskil Lo Hoya, and you have on the one on the right hand side Gil Avraham, the age of Avraham, and you can see we have 70, 73, 99, and 100 different ages. And on the second column, we have the incident, the Irua and the Pasuk, the incident and the relevant Pasuk for each age. With that, we conclude our Shi'ur for today.